for the police officers that are out there today in our land fighting and helping us and doing all that they can to keep things in check. When you talk to a police officer and you say, well, what do you think about being a police officer? And several of them have said, it means a lot to me. What being a policeman means a lot to me as an individual. I've talked to a couple just to get their views, and they remember the academy that they went through. They remember all the training they went through, a lot of different things. And, you know, being a police officer obviously is pretty awesome. It's a big responsibility, and I know not only does it mean a lot to the police officer, but it means a lot to people like me who appreciate their protection. Amen? And so that's really a good thing. I think about firefighters that are out there today. I think about how they go into these blazing buildings and these homes that are out there. Sadly, some of them that are on fire, and where we are running away as fast as we can, they are running inside as fast as they can. It means a lot to be a firefighter. It means a lot to the people who need their services. I think about the doctors that are out there today. While I was at my oncology visit there at Dr. Erder's office this past Thursday, and I looked around and I looked at all the different people that were out there fighting this same disease, fighting cancer. And as I watched them and I watched how Dr. Erder and I watched how these other physicians were in there working with each patient, and I began to think and realize, you know what, these doctors mean a lot to us individually, but being a doctor to them, it means the world to them as well. I think about the nurses that are out there today. I looked around in the clinic, and while I was sitting there, all the nurses, it was doing them nothing against the doctors, but they were walking around saying a few things, but it was the nurses that were really, really hammering down, and I couldn't help but to notice the attitude and the way the nurses was talking, and it was, sweetie, do you need this, and honey, do you need that, and what can I get for you? Well, the doctor was, you know, pretty well right to the point, and then the receptionist was, before you leave, be sure I get that insurance card. So they have their part as well. I think about these paramedics that you see. Harvey's son is a paramedic, and I think about how I see them going up and down the highway in these ambulances very, very fast. It means a lot to them because that's their job, but it certainly means a lot to you and me on the day that we need one. I think about EMTs. I think about auto mechanics, and you may be wondering, Jerry, what does all this have to do with the gospel sermon? I'm going to show you here in just a second. But I think about when your vehicle or my vehicle breaks down, I have zero mechanical ability, so it is nice to know somebody who has some mechanical ability, like Bobby King over here. So if you have a car issue, Bobby can redo it, but I get a $20 referral fee, so see me before you see Bobby. The reality is there's people with mechanical abilities. I have none at all. There's also people that can be classified as a handyman or a handy lady that can do just about anything. Well, once again, I kind of got left out on that too. But they can come and repair your home. So it's very, very good, and it means a lot to know somebody like that. But with all of that being said about what it means to be each and every one of those, what about the Christian today? What about being a child of the Most High God? What does that mean to you individually? For those of you that have put on the breastplate of righteousness, for those of you that have put on the helmet of salvation, for those of you that possess the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible according to Ephesians chapter 6, for those of you that have put on that, for those of you that have heard the Word of God and believe the Word of God and confessed your belief in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed God's Son and that He was murdered upon that cruel cross at Calvary. He was buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, we know that Jesus did what? He rose from the dead. Then He ascended up on high, sitting at the right hand of the Father today. And you know what He's doing there? He is pleading our cases, isn't He? He's pleading our case. When we pray for forgiveness, it is Jesus Christ that we pray through for our forgiveness. We're praying to the Father through Jesus Christ. So it means a lot to me as a child of God. It means a lot to me for what Jesus has done for me and what He's done for you. So the question that we can think about today, what does being a Christian really mean? Why is being a Christian, why is that so important? Why does it mean so much to us as Christians? I'm going to give you several points today, several things we can consider, and we're going to be pulling our answers from the Scriptures. I don't want you to leave today saying, Jerry said this and Jerry said that. I want you to be able to leave today and say, we discovered in the Bible this and that. Does that make sense to us? Because I personally don't want to hear, don't mean any disrespect, I could give a rat's ear about your view, and you could give a rat's ankle about my view. Do we get that? It needs to be about what God says. There are so many people out there today that's preaching oracles, but the problem is it's not the oracles of God. We see so many people that's being led astray. We see so much division that is taking place today because of these weak back preachers that are getting in the pulpit and they're curving what the Bible says. They're not going to preach this part because it might offend you, or it may offend my own self or some of my family. They're just not preaching the gospel. And the church itself suffers. Do you agree with that? We have got to get back to do what Paul told Timothy. He said, you preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Is that what he told him to do? And then he went a little bit further and he said, here's why. Now, I'm paraphrasing this. He didn't say here's why, but he kind of did, didn't he? He said, because there's going to come a time. Did you hear that, gonna? There's going to come a time when people are going to heap up themselves teachers because they got what? Say it like you mean it. They got itching ears. They do not want to be convicted by the Word of God. So they need to employ and engage a preacher who's going to keep it real gentle, who's going to pull some of those TV evangelists that guarantees you that everything is going to be all right no matter what you say or do, that our God is a loving God and you're going to heaven no matter what. That's a bunch of baloney. Our God is a loving God, but our God is a God of severity as well, isn't He? Our God does not accept excuses. When you look back in Genesis chapter 3, what happened with Adam and Eve? Did he accept their excuse? Did he accept their excuse? No, because Eve came in and said, wait a minute, it was the devil that made me do it. Did God accept that? No. Adam, what did Adam do, Amy? He said, it wasn't me. No, it was her. Matter of fact, he blamed her and then blamed who? God. He said, it's the woman that you sent me. He wasn't going to take any responsibility for that, was he? Here's the problem, brothers and sisters. We've got to get back to living by the basics of the Bible, by the instructions of God's Word. Get away from people-pleasing. Amen? Don't worry about trying to make a congregant happy. And if I could get that across in 34 years of me being, Lord allow me to be a minister of the gospel, do not worry about trying to make the congregation happy. Don't mean it disrespectful. You ain't going to do it. Watch that good grammar. You ain't going to make the congregation happy. Thank God. What your job is, ministers, and every one of you are preachers. Do you agree with that? Do you, Heather? What your job is to make sure that we are preaching the gospel. If you're not one that's going to preach it verbally, then you can do it by your lifestyle. Amen? Go with me to Matthew 5:16. What does the Bible say? Let your soul that they may see your glorifying your which is in heaven. So we understand the vast importance of being a Christian. We understand, and we need to understand that there's a major, major, major part of being a child of the Most High God if we're going to go to heaven. Being a Christian means so much to me. And let's take a look at just a few short points that we can consider. Number one, the first point I want us to examine today as we talk about being a Christian and what it means to us, here's what it means. Being a Christian means that I know and that you know, for those of us that are Christians, that God is our Creator, isn't He? All right. God is indeed our Creator. I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. That's what I love about life today. As a Christian, I know that God created me. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 26 and 27 here in just a moment, and I know from whom I was created. I know for whom I was created. And I also know where I'm going to go as long as I am a faithful child of God. God created me, and He created you. He created us in His image. I want us to make sure we all know that if we want to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if we want to be an heir of that beautiful place called heaven, then you better be certain in your life that we're living by the Scripture. Amen? Living by what God's Word says and not what mankind says. The great prophet Jeremiah said, it is not in man who walks to do what? So you and I don't have that power to do. We don't have the power to be able to say, you do it this way, you do it that way, I'll do it this way. No, we don't have that. It is God's way or no way. Amen? All right. So let's take a look and see what the Scripture says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The Bible says, then God said, let us make man in according to let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now watch verse 27. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, the Bible says, he created them. So listen to me, folks. We know without a doubt, because we saw it in the scripture, that God created us, and he created us in whose image? Thank you. In his image. So God created us in his image. Shouldn't we imitate Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we imitate God? Shouldn't we be living our everyday life as a proud Christian? Not prideful, but proud Christian. Do you agree with that? Because God created us in his image. We are to be just like Jesus. We are to be just like the Father. No, we can't ever be. We can't elevate ourselves to the level of Jesus. We can't elevate ourselves to the level of God. We know the devil tried to do that and saw what happened. But what we can do, Tony, is we can strive every single day, can't we, buddy? We can strive every single day to live as close to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. I love what the Bible tells us over in the book of Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Is that what the Bible's telling us? Make sure that he's glorified by what we do. A while ago, you and I visited Matthew 5, 16. Why don't we do it again? Let your... That was very good. Some of you got started out real good. Started out with a hot cup of coffee and ended up with cold iced tea. All right. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorifying your, which is very good. So it doesn't need to, the light don't need to be about illuminating Jerry or illuminating the Collins family or my wife or my son or daughter-in-law or anybody else. The light should be, we are representatives of who? God. We are ambassadors of God. We are spokespersons for God. We are disciples of God. We are Christians. We're followers. We're students of his word. Act like it. Amen. Live our life according to this right here. What being a Christian means to me individually, being a Christian means so much, but it certainly means that I know who my Creator is. Just as God created the flowers that we see bloom, you know, the first of the spring, aren't they beautiful? And we see those. God created those. The trees that have those leaves on it, when the wind's blowing, Jared, the leaves kind of wave at you. Isn't that super cool? We know who created that. Who created that? God created that. He created the water that we drink and that we live by. Also, he created the water that many people have recreation on, boating, fishing, etc. God created food that provides nutrition for our bodies. He also gives us the knowledge to go out and to work, to earn a portion of this world's goods, to support our family and to give back as we have been prospered. He's done all of these things for us. Why? Because God is our creator. Say that with me. Because God is our creator. As a Christian, brothers and sisters, I know that. As a child of the Most High God, you know that. So we talk about my mom and daddy did this and my mom and daddy did that. Yes, they did. Did a good job raising you. That's not your father, amen? Your father is Almighty God. Your father is the one that gave you life. Are we together with this so far? You know what, being a Christian, why it's so great? Because I know without a doubt, and you need to listen to me, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. I don't say that in a prideful way. I believe in the possibility of apostasy. I believe that people can fall away from the fold of safety. There's examples of that in the Scripture. But I also know, according to Revelation chapter 2, latter part of verse 10, the Bible says, be thou faithful unto death, and I, Jesus Christ, will give you the what? Thank you, Jesus. I'll give you the crown of life. Thank you. So, what does it mean to us as Christians? It means that we all realize together that God is our Creator. And I love that because it shows just how powerful, darling, it shows how powerful God is, doesn't it? It shows that this world that we enjoy was framed by his word. By his power, this world was created. The second point that I want to examine today is this. Being a Christian means that, to me, means that Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. Sounds a little elementary, but it's the reality. being a Christian means that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. What does the word Lord mean? Say it like you mean it, please. Master. So that word Lord means master. If I'm a Christian, then that means I am a servant. Is that right? If I am a servant, that means I have a, starts with an M, master. So as a servant, I am to serve my master. So we're going to look at that a little bit heavier than what we looked at the other one. As a Christian, we must recognize, number one, who our master is. I say it jokingly that Paula is my master after 43 years of marriage. I got so tickled the other day when Amy and I, myself and Jerry Jr., we were all sitting at this restaurant, and Jerry Jr. Said something, and little Kylie looks up at her daddy and goes, "Yes, master." I thought I would fall out. I'm like, man, I would love to have that recorded. So Jerry's face turns Alabama crimson red, even though he's got his orange jacket on. That's okay. But that's what Kylie said, "Yes, master." So I thought that will be in a sermon very, very soon. So Jerry Jr., there it is. The reality is, if we are Christians, then we understand that Jesus is our master. You know why? Because a while ago, Stephen read to us, and we're going to look at it again over in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is the propitiation. He was and is the propitiation. Since I went to Glencliff High School, I'll need somebody to tell me what the word propitiation means. Starts with an S. It means substitute. So when you're reading that passage of Scripture and it says that Jesus is the propitiation, in your mind, just think, well, okay, he was a substitute, which means he took my place. Is that right, Bobby? Well, let's take a look and see what the Bible says. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you that ye may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, the Bible says, talking about Jesus, is, not maybe, but the Bible says he is the propitiation for whose sin? All right. That's very inclusive. That means all of us. And not for ours only, but also, the Bible says, for the whole world. Friends, if Jesus Christ is your master, then you and I together, we must serve him. Amen? We must serve him and do what he's commanding us to do. If we're not serving him, we're not his servant. If we're not serving him, he's not our master. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 6, down in verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I command you to do? That pretty well makes sense, doesn't it? If Jesus is our master, Amy, then let's do what he says. Do you remember John 14, 15? The Bible, we often talk about, well, let me ask this question, confirm it with an amen. If you love Jesus, confirm it with an amen. Two of y'all never answered. All right, let me look again. If you love Jesus, confirm it with an amen. Very good. I just wanted to see one was dozing off, so I had to find out what was going on with that. All right, so the reality is, if we love Jesus, we're going to keep his commandment, right? John 14 and in verse 15. I know as a Christian that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is indeed the Savior of the body. That's what I'm loving. He is the Savior of the body, Savior of the Lord's church. He is the Savior to all that will come to him with a repentant heart, with a life that one has repented. Luke 13, 3, and also verse 5. The Bible says, I tell you nay, but unless you will all likewise perish. So we need to remember that passage of Scripture as well. Verse 5 says the same thing. So what does being a Christian mean to us individually? It means that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that he is my master, and I am his servant. Does that make any sense? Here's something we may have to work on. Far too often, we go to a church assembly and we say, well, let me go over here and see what I can get out of this. Guilty right here. Guilty of all churches. Many, many times I've walked into a church building when we're on vacation and we go to Florida. I've done this last year, year before last. Bobby, I'm guilty. I walked in, told my wife on the way in, I said, oh, let's go in here. And I said, I'll get to hear a preacher for a while. I'm not going to do any preaching. I'm going to get to hear a preacher. Let's see what I get out of this. Boy, did I mess up. Not because that the building had red carpet and gold pans or whatever and it looked different. That wasn't it. But how shocked I was that the preacher was talking about, did you come to serve or to be served? That's what the preacher spoke on. I don't like that preacher this very day. I don't like that guy. He hurt my heart through the Scripture. Thank God he preached what he did. Amen. Far too often, we want to come into the church and we want to see what they have to offer. It shouldn't be what they have to offer. It should be what you're offering to God. Amen. I'm not talking about in the pans when you put your check in there. No. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about my life. Oh, we've got to be much more than Sunday morning Christians. Do you understand that? We've got to go way beyond just getting in our car and coming to 613 James Avenue. It means to fulfill Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It means to show our love to God by serving Him. It means to live our life outside of those double doors the way God intended for us to. It is so easy to do good in here. Don't come in here acting like, oh, this is hard. No, it's not. You're crazy if you think this is hard. This is a controlled environment. Amen. There's no drinking. There's no cursing. There's no stealing. There's no hypocrisy that we see going on in front of us. But there is when we leave the building. There's people today that'll sit right here. You got your preacher right here. I'll sit up here and talk about, don't do this. If I was to don't do that, and I'm guilty, I'll walk out of that door and I do it. Not all the time, but we all fall short. Yes or no? Romans 3:23, for all have and fallen of the glory of. So don't think we're, listen, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not trying to be too sad. But I want to make sure that we come in here to serve God. We come in here to worship God. This is not about you only. This is about you and your relationship with God, isn't it? And I have to go where I grow. You have to go where you grow. The only place I can grow is in the Lord's church. Because the Bible told me in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, having favor of all of the people, the Lord added to the church those that are being, very good, Amy, those that are being saved. So when Jesus Christ added me to His church, none of y'all voted for me. None of y'all said, well, I think by letter He can do this, and I think, you know, we're going to let Him come on in there. Half of you probably wouldn't even have voted for me, wouldn't even let me in. The reality is, I'm not studying you and you're not studying me. We're going to study the Scriptures and we're going to see what God says. Amen. The Lord says, I'll add you to my body. I'll add you to my church, those that are being saved. Is that a pretty cool deal? All right. Ready for the next one? All right. The third point is, as a Christian, I can trust the Bible as the all-sufficient guide unto salvation. I can trust the Bible being my guide to salvation. Goodness, I don't have to trust mankind. Look at Washington. I'm not going to politics, but just look at some of our leaders. Look at what we see taking place, not only in Washington, but even on the local level. Not only in a local level, but look in the council. Not only in the council, look at the House of Representatives. Not only there, look inside some of the churches today. Amen? Are y'all getting this? So what we have to do is go back and say, I can't put, in my own life, I can't put all of my eggs in one basket. Y'all heard that before? It's okay to help each other, to help each other grow, to help each other do what we need to do. But I'm going to look at the Bible as the all-sufficient guide to salvation. Not worried about a commentary. I'm not worried about the Guidepost magazine. I'm not worried about some little book that one of y'all keeps sending to our house. Thank you, but I trash it every time we get it. It's about this big, that tall. Quit sending it. Save yourself. It never gets in the house. I trash it before I get there. Because when I looked through it, it wasn't too cool. So if you're the person sending it, don't be offended. Save yourself a step. Just give me the dollar. Now we'll be happy. The reality is, I'm not going to go by that stuff. I, Jerry Thomas Ladd, will go by the oracles of God. Amen? Let me suggest that you do that. Is it okay to have some of the guideposts and read those things for some support? Yes. But don't be deceived, because it's still the word of man. It's an opinion of mankind. I suggest that we go by the all-sufficient guide, which is the Bible. Say that with me. Which is the Bible. How do I know that? Because I'm going to find it in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We better go back up to verse 12. Harvey will say something. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, go to verse 12, and we'll go 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. How can we get those things, folks? We get it from the Scripture, don't we? That's how we find out how God wants us to act. Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy which you land on of the hands of the eldership. Here we go, 15. Y'all ready? What's the first word? Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who what? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15, the Bible says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Oh, is that beautiful? From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which makes you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Y'all believe what the Bible says? Then you have to believe that the Bible is the all-sufficient God for our salvation. Why? Because of what the Scripture says in John chapter 8 and in verse 32. The Bible says, when you study these oracles, listen, you shall know thee, and the truth shall. So learn the Bible, love the Bible, and live the Bible. Is that fair enough? The next point. As a Christian, and what it means to all of us as a Christian, I am thankful that the church is my fellowship. Is that pretty cool? That my fellowship is in the church. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. So when I look at that particular passage of Scripture, for me, being a Christian, it means that my fellowship is with other believers of the household of faith. It means that my fellowship is with Almighty God, the very one that created me, that we found out about a while ago in Genesis chapter 1, wasn't it? So when I'm down and out, I love the fact to know that I have a fellowship in the Lord's church that's going to pray for me, that's going to encourage me, that's not going to judge me. That's one of the things I love about, I've been with this congregation for 9.5 years. One of the greatest things about this particular congregation is there's no judges here. Is that pretty cool? I get fed up right there. And because I'm extremely immature, when someone starts judging, I start getting even more immature. Does that make sense? I love the fact that here, we're just being about our Father's business. Trying to get to heaven. Taking as many people as we can. I don't judge you because I don't have the authority. Don't judge me because you don't either. Amen? Let's just make sure that we encourage each other, lift each other up, and do this because we love God and we love one another. So as a Christian, I'm thankful that the church is my fellowship, that God is my fellowship. Here's your next one. Amy, you're thinking, what? I have 3 points. Okay. Here's another. What being a Christian means to me, it means that Christian living is my way of life. So if you are a Christian, these are very short. If you are a Christian, then Christian living should be your way of life, right? Not just what? Sunday morning. Christian living means how many days a week? Thank you, Heather. How many hours a day? 14. Well, I'm going to live like a heathen for 10. No, that's not what it means, does it? The Bible means 24/7, doing all that we can. The Bible gives us, let me use the word injunction. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his, and let me tell y'all something. That cross is awfully heavy, isn't it? We talked many times about how heavy the cross was that Jesus carried. I'm not minimizing that, Brother Collins, one drop. But I'll tell you that the cross that we have to bear is pretty heavy, too. Because when I decided to follow Jesus, Dana, that means I had to stop this habit. I loved doing the things that I was doing. I know that sounds stupid for somebody to say that, but I did. I enjoyed some of that kind of riotous living. But I found out that that kind of living is not going to get me into heaven. Then I fell in love with Jesus. Then I fell in love with God. Then I fell in love with the fact that I can have a fellowship with God. I can have a home in heaven with God and those Christians that have went on before me. Don't think I want any part of that life anymore. I want this life. Does that make any sense? I choose God. I saw a show the other day. I was sitting with Jerry, and I saw this lady talk to her husband, and she said, I choose us. And I thought about that in my relationship with God. I choose us. I choose me and God. Do you choose you and God? Isn't that? Three of you said, yeah. Do you choose God? All right, yeah, okay. Got a little concern. But the cross sometimes is heavy. Take up the cross daily and follow him. Take up that cross means I may have to have a whole different set of friends, doesn't it? Take up that cross means I got to stop some of these habits, but I can pick up new habits. Not bad ones, new ones, better ones. Take up that cross daily also means that sometimes I may have to talk with some folks that need some encouragement. Also, I have to be willing to be taught. Does that make sense? So often, we think we've got all the answers and we don't know squat. We need to have the attitude and the mindset that, yes, I can be taught. I want to learn. That's why I love. You don't have to beg me to come to the service of the Lord. I want to be here because I want to learn as much as I can. Because I want to get to heaven and take as many people as I possibly can. Does this make any sense to you? I'm glad you said yeah, because I was going to hit you with that four more points. Now you said yeah, I'm just kidding. That's called blackmail for those of you that don't know what that is. Let me give you these last, and then we got to go. Being a Christian to me means that I have a mission regarding the souls of others. Let's say that together. I have a mission regarding the souls of others. Quit being selfish, congregation. I know that if I ask you for some chewing gum, you'll give it to me. I know if I ask you, Jerry, for some mint, you'll give it to me. I know today that if I said, Teresa, I'm hungry, I need something to eat, I guarantee I'd get it. But there's also people that don't need the mint, they don't need the food, they don't need that, they need God. Amen? And we have a responsibility, a biblical instruction to go and teach. The Bible tells us all about that over in Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, go make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he goes over to say, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And he says, when you do that, I'll be with you. Thank you, darling. And then don't forget Mark 16 and verse 15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is shall be, but he who believes not, in your hands. Very serious. In your hands are the souls of others. Do you realize that? In your hands are the souls of those that's watching your life. Make sure that we're representing God. Make sure that you're talking about heaven. Make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do, because it's the way you act. It's the way you react that's going to cause that person to either want more about God in his church, or they're going to say, I don't think I need part of that. You know, you get the picture? How many times have we said, if that's Christian life, I don't want no part of it. But when you see someone that no matter what they're going through, they still have that spirit of love for God, they see someone that still continues on no matter what, they say, where is that strength coming from? Where is her happiness coming from? How do they continue doing what they're doing, been through all that they've been through? It's because they're in love with God. Amen? All right. So, we have a mission, and that is to go and teach and preach. That also brings up the responsibility. If you're somewhere and they're not preaching, listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, go to them. If they still don't preach the gospel of Christ, then get away from them. Amen? I know that sounds pretty rude maybe, but I'm just trying to help you. You help us. If they're not preaching the gospel, get away. The Bible says to flee from all the princes of evil. Is that right? Leave it alone. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the enemy, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion. That doesn't mean that you're going to recognize the devil with these big horns sticking out of his head. That doesn't mean he's going to come in with a black... Wait a minute. Darlene, I saw what you were saying. Hey, I just got judged. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to look and see, like you see on television, the devil. The devil will come to you in sheep's clothing, right? But inwardly they are ravenous wolves, the Bible says. It could be that preacher. It could be that Bible class teacher. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your child. It could be anything. We have to be sure that we are practicing and living on God's Word. Yes or no? As I close our lesson. Ultimately, being a Christian means that I have a home in heaven with God. That's what it means to me. I love what the Bible says in John 14:2. In my Father's house are many what? Jesus says, I'm going there to do what? Prepare. Thank you. To prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive it in myself, that where I am, there, you will be also. Is that about right? Thomas, like some of us, said, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? What did Jesus say in 6? One of y'all was doing Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. No, that's not what he said. It was John 14:6. Harvey, we're wasn't in Psalm 23. And very good. So the reality is heaven is our home. God is His Son, Jesus Christ, is preparing us a place. I'm thankful that I'm a Christian today because, Bobby, He's coming back to get me. The Lord's going to come back and He's going to gather His glorious church. He's going to gather all of those who put on the breastplate of righteousness. Christ is coming back, brothers and sisters, and I ask this question, are you ready today? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Revelation 2:10, don't forget that one. Be faithful in the death, and I will give you thee. Are you being faithful? Today, if you're not a Christian, you're missing out on every bit of this. But you can become a Christian today by hearing God's word. I gave it to you by Scripture. Are we in agreement? You got to believe. Have to believe in the Word of God. Upon believing in that, you see where the promises of Jesus Christ, you see the promises of God. He promises a home in heaven with Him, but He also promises in Matthew 25, verse 46, these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. He gives us those two, that promise. One group's going to heaven, one group's going to hell. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed once for man to die, but after this, the judgment. Nobody's going to escape that. Everybody's going to go to judgment. Be sure you're ready. So believe in the Word of God. Upon believing, you're going to repent of your sins. I'm going to change the way I'm living. It's going to be a slow process, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to work on this habit, get it down, and work on another one. While you're doing that, guess what? Other habits are going to start coming up too. Just kind of give you a little. The devil's going to be pretty ticked off at you if you become a Christian. He's going to try to keep you into his snare. He wants you in sin's prison. You know why? Because the devil is the warden of sin's prison, isn't he? And he wants to keep you there. If you kick him in the face, he tells you, get out of your house. Get out of my car. Get away from me. Get away from my marriage. Get away from my emotions. Do not come back here again. You are not welcome here. Amen. That's what we got to tell Satan. We can't go, oh, Lord, thank you. Satan's really out to get me. No, you get with it. You beat him up. You understand? I can do all things through upon your confession of faith. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Not do it because the preacher said it or elder said it or anybody else said it. Do it because Jesus said it. That's why you're being baptized. Not as an outward act of your religion. There's no ceremonial or theatrical act in that. You're being baptized because you have to be resurrected. The old man put to death, the new man walking in Christ Jesus. Upon that confession, be baptized. Live a faithful life, as faithful as you can, unto and into your death. And always remember, we are indeed. Maybe today you are a Christian, but you wander from the fold of safety. You kind of got back into the world. You need to be prayed for. You need some encouragement. You need to be restored. Today is the day to do that. If you have a need, any need at all, come right now. Together we stand.